right, hey, look, we're talking about the kitchen today in our open house series. Would you please help me welcome our television viewing audience and all of our campuses today? Glad you're tuning in today. God bless you guys, wherever you're watching, wherever you're tuning in. At Celebration Church, we are in our open house series, and we've been talking about God's house. And it's kind of like an open house. We've been talking about the fact that just like our own homes, God has a living room. God has a foyer. God has a dining room. God has a front yard and a backyard. And God also has a kitchen. And we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, God's living room environment that really, you know, the big weekend services or when we have services here at Celebration Church, that's like God's living room. It's all different types of people from all walks of life at different places in their walks with God. We have people in here today, and man, you're like really committed to God. I mean, you've been a Christian for years and years and years. We have some people here today. I mean, you're not a believer at all. I mean, someone dragged you here, or you know there's something more to life, and so you're in here searching and you're just trying to find more out about God. And there's several different types of people in that spectrum there. But God's living room, it's just a big tent accepting environment, just like Jesus did, where the multitudes could come in and experience God and encounter God and learn about a real relationship with God. And it's so important for us to understand at church. Listen. Church is not about religious stuff. Can I have a good amen? Church is about hanging out with Jesus, experiencing the presence of God in worship, and having the Word of God come in a real and powerful way and impact our hearts and change our lives. Then we talked about, you know, there's another step. You can go from the living room, that's just the multitudes, and you can go into the dining room, and that's where it's a little bit closer environment, and how you can get involved in different small groups and life groups and ministry teams, and you kind of take that next step, and you say, okay, I'm ready to hang out with the right kind of people that are going to make a positive difference in our life. And we've been talking about how authentic relationships are just huge and who you hang out with. Here's the deal, man. Look who you're hanging out with, because in a few years, you're going to be just like them. Yay. So, okay, is that a whole nother message? I see some of you are getting up and leaving the people you came here with, and you're going over here and vice versa. No, I'm only kidding. Okay, well, listen to this. There's even a next step. There's a kitchen in God's house, and there's a kitchen table in God's house, and that's really where we can get in and really deal with the core issues and really go to a deeper level with God. How many of you, you know, some of you ladies, if you host people or have a gift of hospitality or have people over to your homes, it's kind of like, hey man, the living room and then even the dining room, that's where all the guests are, that's where everything is, you know, made up and looking good and all that. But if you're back in the kitchen, you know what I'm saying? You're with a group of people back there and the kitchen is a mess. Just like some of our lives. The kitchen is a mess, and the kitchen is in there, and it's where we're dealing with stuff and we're dealing with things, but at the same time we're looking at others. It's all about others and we're serving and all those things. So we're going to talk about God's kitchen. Now watch this, and we're going to take a look in the Bible where Jesus sits down with his disciples at the kitchen table. Let me tell you something about the kitchen table. Listen, man. This is where real spiritual growth can take place. We're gonna see here at the kitchen table, it's not the big multitudes. Jesus is not speaking to the thousands here. It's just he and his disciples, and he begins to talk to them about some core issues in their hearts, some core issues in their lives, that if they really wanna experience the fullness of God, they're gonna have to go to the next level. And that's what God wants all of us to do. See, here's the thing. When you come into the living room, think about your own homes. When you come into the living room environment, listen, it's all about you. And you know why it's all about you? Because God loves you so much. That's why Jesus, when he came, he didn't just say, hey, everybody, hey, I'm right and you're wrong. Okay, everybody got that straight. And don't mess with me or I'll zap you with some lightning. You know what I'm saying? I'm God and you're all these humans. So get on board and let's follow me. How many of you know, I don't think too many people would have followed Jesus if he had that attitude. Why? No, Jesus loved people. So, man, they don't know anything about God. They don't understand. So what does God do? God comes in and he shows how much he heals them. He blesses them. He feeds them. He ministers to their needs. That's what opens us up to the goodness of God. While we were yet sinners, what? Christ died for us. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The foundational thing is that God loves you no matter what. And he shows that to you. But for your benefit, okay, for you to have more joy, for you to have more satisfaction in life, guess what? God just doesn't leave it there. Yes, it's all about you, but guess what? Hopefully you'll come into that dining room experience and you learn, well, hey, you know what? Thank you, Jesus. God meets my needs and God helps me. But guess what? It's more than just about me. It's about God and it's about other people. So see, at first when God ministers to us, I remember in my life, I wasn't thinking about other people when I came to God. I was thinking about me. I had issues. I had stuff. I wanted to be forgiven. I wanted to be happy. I wanted God's plan for my life. It was really all about me. But then you come into the kingdom of God, you come through the living room, you get in the dining room, you're like, all right, God, okay, cool. Yes, it's about me, but it's also about you, and it's also about other people. And that's where you go the next level. But did you know there's even another level? And that's where we go into the kitchen. And see, at every one of these levels, there's a greater degree of satisfaction. There's a greater degree of peace. There's a greater degree of joy. There's a greater degree of spiritual maturity. There's a greater degree of Christ-likeness. And when you come in the kitchen, as we're going to see with Jesus and his disciples there, guess what? That's when you sit down at the table with God and you experience God. And guess what you learn? It's not about you. Guess what? It is all about God. That we exist to bring glory to God. And the more that we're able to demonstrate Christ-likeness and spiritual maturity in our lives, guess what? The happier we're gonna be, the more stable we're gonna be, the more satisfied that we're gonna be. And so if you look in Luke chapter 22, Jesus brings the disciples, it's not the multitude. He sits them down at the kitchen table. I want you to answer this question, not out loud, but in your heart. What if, okay, remember you're over at Jesus's house, we're all hanging out. What if Jesus comes out and he speaks and he says, all right, who's ever really ready to really be my disciple now? Been having a great time in the living room. You understand I love you, I forgive you, eternal life, you know, all that good stuff. But if you're really ready to be my disciple and if you really want to be on my team, and if you really want to be used by me to make a difference during your short time on this earth, I want you to follow me into the kitchen. And I want you to sit down at my table. And I need to share some stuff with you. Okay? So if you would say, yes, God, okay, I'm in, man. I'm going to the kitchen table. I know I'm going to need to be open and honest and be transparent and all that stuff, but I'm in. I believe in your call so much, God. I want you to use me to make a difference during my short time here on earth. If you would say yes to that question, guess what? You're going to really like this message. If you would say, oh, dude, I don't know about that, man. What are we talking here? We talking commitment? We talking sacrifice? You know, I'm going to have to stop hanging out with these people, you know, am I gonna be able to keep doing my shady business deals? You know what I'm saying? You know, I like doing this a little bit, God. You know, I like the fire insurance, man. You know, you and me, God. But I don't know about this. Well, if you're even thinking like that, you've missed the whole point. Remember this. Christianity, it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And until you come and really sit down with God and open your heart and allow yourself to experience Jesus and be open and honest and learn what it means to be like Christ and allow God to develop spiritual maturity in your life, you're never going to experience all that God has for you. So that's what he's telling the disciples. He sits them down. This is a picture of the Last Supper here. This is where we get communion from. But I want to give you a different slant on this because this is really a kitchen environment. Here's what happens when we sit down with God at his table. You're sitting down with him. Look at the first thing Jesus says. Verse 19, it says, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. He gave it to them saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. See, here's where we learn it's all about God. It's not about us. It's not about you. This thing is so much bigger than all of us. Jesus said, remembrance of me, what I've done, God, living for God, glorifying God. Verse 20, likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. The first thing that happens when we say, okay, God, I'm ready to go to the next level. Guess what? You have an experience with God. And all of a sudden, you come to that revelation that, guess what, man? All your sins are forgiven. There is a new purpose in your life. There is a new power available to you. Listen, things that were once impossible in your life are now possible with God when you decide to go to the next level in your walk with Him. Things that have been holding you back for years and years and years that you didn't think you could overcome. Things that seem so difficult and so complicated to you. You need to understand when you say, God, I'm ready to go into the kitchen. God, I'm ready to serve you. God, I'm ready for you to really use me in a new and powerful way. God, I'm ready to grow spiritually. When you have that kind of heart attitude, Jesus says, guess what? Then I've got good news for you. You're going to experience my freedom like never before. There's a new power that you have on the inside of you. There's a new purpose for your life. And when you begin to go God's way, the purposes of God begin to well up in your life. And all of a sudden you begin to see things that you've never seen before. Man. So God, here's what he does. Here's what he does. He lays it out. He says, okay, here we go. There's a great life for you. There's forgiveness. There's this new power. There's this new purpose. And guess what? You can experience that because now you're ready just to go from the living room to really understanding what I'm all about and really walking with me in a deeper relationship. But watch this. Now he walks us through and he walks the disciples through some key issues. There's a few key things here, gang, that if we don't understand, that if we don't put into practice, we're never going to access and experience the power of God and the freshness of God and the life of God and the satisfaction that God has for us. So he walks them through. I call these are about three core key principles of spiritual maturity. It's these three things. Watch. If you don't get these three key things down in your life, your walk with God's going to be like a roller coaster. There's going to be lots of inconsistency. There's going to be instability. Jesus is saying, okay, remember, he's talking to the kitchen now. He said, okay, you're ready to get on board. You're ready to experience me in a greater way. You've got to understand three core issues to really live the life that I have for you. If you really want the satisfaction, if you really want to make a difference. And the first thing that he does, watch this, man. He actually brings up betrayal. Look what he says here in verse 22. He talks about betrayal. And of course, we all know it's Judas. Okay, you would think that the disciples would immediately start to point at Judas. How many of you know when somebody, when you have a close group of friends, I mean, the disciples have been hanging out with each other. I'm talking close quarters, big time, for over 3 years. How many of you know when you're all up in each other's business? How many of you know you just know everything? You know each other's faults. You know each other's weaknesses. You know each other's strengths. And when you're in that close group of people, when someone comes up and says, man, you're not going to guess who went all negative and haywire, what are you going to think? You know, I know exactly who it is. I'm going to say it's Fred. You know, it's so-and-so. It's so-and-so. Do you know what I'm talking about? Isn't it so easy for us when we have a close group of friends, we know who the negative person is. We know who the person is that has a problem with telling the truth. We know who the person is that exaggerates. I see some of you are like. You know, we know the person is who has an issue with this or with an issue of that. And then when someone brings that up, you know, hey, one of you has this issue. Most of us think, yeah, I know who that is. You know what I'm saying? But watch this. When you sit down at God's table, when you go to Jesus' kitchen and you have that experience with God, guess what? It produces a humility in you that when God brings up an issue, here's what Jesus brings up right here. He says, truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. Verse 23, it says, then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. Another gospel says this. They actually begin to ask Jesus. They begin to say, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Now, wouldn't you think that Peter and John and Mark and Luke, all these guys, I mean, if it was me, I'd be thinking, it's not me, it's Judas. You know what I'm saying? We know who it is. But there's something about the presence of God when you come into God's kitchen and you open up your heart. Guess what? You stop looking at other people's issues and you start opening up your own heart to God for change. Can I have a good amen? That what happens is when God begins to bring up issues, we're not like, oh, I wish he would have been here. I wish she would have been here. I'm like, yeah, that's that person. Yeah, that. What do? We focus in on God and we say, Lord, is it I? Is it me? What area do I need to change? What area in my heart is not submitted to you? Watch this about humility. Humility, and this goes in to how we act, to how we react. Humility is huge. We can't demonstrate Christ-likeness without an attitude of humility. Humility blesses others and lowers ourselves. Humility, when it's a challenge, when it's an issue, like I'm saying, when something comes up, we always want to check our own hearts, not look to others that have the problem, not worry about changing others. Let me tell you something about humility. Humility is so much more concerned with Christ-likeness than being right or getting even. How do you act? How do you react when somebody hurts you? How do you act? How do you react when somebody offends you? How do you act? How do you react when somebody lies about you? When somebody does something that you know is wrong? There's been an injustice. Are you concerned about demonstrating Christ's likeness? Or are you concerned about being right or getting even? I want to let you know this. Listen. God wants us to have a humble heart. And when people say things against us or hurt us or speak an untruth about us or something doesn't go your way and it should have been, listen, we've got to have a humble heart and we got to say, God, I commit this thing to you. See, when we try to get back, when we try to get even, when we try to vindicate ourselves, guess what? We put God out of the picture. But when we say, Lord, I want to demonstrate Christ's likeness in this area, I'm going to commit this and put this in your hands. Guess what? All of a sudden, God comes down and God gets involved. You know what the quickest solution to your problem is? Do you know what the quickest healing to your hurt is? It's Christ-likeness. And too many times we want this person to change and we want that to stop and we want this person out of our lives and we're ready for this to be right and this to be corrected and if only this thing wouldn't have happened and all this kind of stuff. And we've totally forgotten that there's a process of God in our hearts. God wants to work some humility in us. And he wants us to learn to come to him and put things in his hands. This was the temptation that Jesus had. Remember when he was on the cross and they came together and they said, okay, if you're the Son of God, here's your chance to prove us wrong. Here's your chance to get even, Lord. If you're the Son of God, get down off the cross and save yourself. And how many of you know Jesus could have gotten even? He even said to Pilate, do you not know that I could call down 12 legions of angels right now? What he's saying is, look, I have the power to be right, and I have the power to get even. But you know what Jesus said when they tempted him with that? Come on, prove us wrong. Come on, get even. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. In other words, God, I give this thing to you. Lord, you are the vindicator of my life. God, you are my Lord. Jesus, Father, I trust in you. And then he turned to the people and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. Man, that's spiritual maturity. Too many of us, I mean, we talk about here at Celebration Church, we believe in transformational discipleship, discipleship that makes a difference. That yes, it starts with learning, but it is so much more than learning. I know people that know the Bible's backwards and forwards and one thing doesn't go their way and they freak out. And they say things they should never say. And they react in ways that are so unChristlike. And they're reading their Bible the whole time. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like something doesn't go their way. You think they did. Man, you need to go to Rageaholics Anonymous, dude. No offense if you're in Rageaholics Anonymous, but I'm just saying. Do you see? Listen. I know some of y'all, well, I mean, maybe you want to hear this, maybe you don't. I'm just telling you right now, this is spiritual maturity. This is where the rubber hits the road. Do we want to be like Jesus? Do you really want peace in your life? Do you want to be able, like the Apostle Paul says, man, I've learned a secret. I know how to be content when I'm in abundance. You know what that means? That's not just thinking money. People think, oh, abundance, that's like, okay, I got all this stuff. No, you know what he's talking about? He's talking about when everything's going good. He's talking about when everything's going his way. He's talking about when everything's peachy keen. But he says, you know, I know how to be content also when I don't have anything. In other words, when everything's going against me, when everybody's forsaken me, when nothing has worked out, I'm going to get to this like I expected it to. We put so much stock in our expectations, but what God is interested in is forming Christ-likeness in the process of the challenge that we're facing. And what we're thinking is we want God to move and fix this, that, and the other thing. Let me just say this. Could it be? Whoa, this is a new doctrine. Could it be that the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord? Could it just be to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct our paths? Could it just be that God actually knows the end from the beginning and that He's actually in control of our lives? Could it be that those people in your life that you're having such a challenge with, whoa, could it be that God is actually using that to develop spiritual maturity on the inside of you? The promotion that you didn't get, that you deserved? And someone else got? Could it be that God orchestrated that? Because God wants to do a work of Christ-likeness in your heart? Whoa. I'm telling you right now, man, God is so much bigger than we think, and He's so much more in control than we think. And if we will stop freaking out and going crazy and all of this kind of stuff, and when something happens, if we'll learn, watch this, to come to the table and say, Jesus, what are you teaching me here? And how can I demonstrate Christ-likeness in this difficult area? I tell you what, I've been walking with God for 17 years now. I'm 37 years old. I've been in full-time ministry for 15 years. And obviously, just like you, I have goals and dreams and visions and expectations and desired outcomes and all this kind of stuff. But you know what I've learned after 15 years? You know what my greatest prayer is and what I do every day? Someone was just asking me this past week. What I do, this is what I've come to learn. There's so much out of our control. And what I've come to know is when I wake up, just like I did this morning, the first thing I try to do is say, God, please help me to be like Jesus. Lord, please demonstrate Christ-likeness in me and through me today and help me act and react like Jesus would. And Lord, I need your grace and your wisdom. God, you're the pastor of Celebration Church. I'm the under-shepherd. Would you help me to be like Jesus? Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter how smart you are. Listen, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how skilled you are. That can't even touch the favor of God on your life. And if we will learn to bring things to God, if we will learn to commit to God and go to God before we go to other people and say, Jesus, help me demonstrate Christ's likeness in this area, you will find a strength and a peace and a comfort that you've never known. You know, the more I walk with God and the more that I have that attitude, the more peace that I have in my heart about everything. Can I have a good amen? And that is the peace that passes all understanding. What does it say? Don't worry. Stovall's Modern Translation, stop freaking out. You don't need to join Rageaholics Anonymous. You only thought that you did. Stop worrying. Stop fretting. But what does it say? By everything, through prayer and petition, bring your requests to who? God. Commit it to God. Bring it to God and say, Lord, how do you want me to handle this? And then the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Listen, you and God are a majority. Can I have a good amen? Amen. That's what that means. What we do is this. We offer up a prayer like this. God, you see what's going on. I can't believe you let this happen. In Jesus' name, amen. And we wonder why we don't experience the peace of God in the circumstance. So he talks about humility. Let me say real quick, we have great groups here at Celebration Church that are like kitchen table environments. We have groups like God Encounter. We have Care Force classes. We have Flex Men's groups. We have God Encounters. We have areas where you can come in and you can open your heart and you can say, God, I'm ready to go to the next level with you and deal with some issues and begin to have Christ-likeness in a new developed in your life in a new way, a spiritual maturity. I just wanted to throw that out there. Okay, moving right along here. Man, look at this. Okay, watch. So he talks about the issue. There's humility there. Look at the next thing. They start talking about greatness and all this stuff. Jesus comes back in verse 26. Here's the next crucial principle. He says, not so among you. On the contrary, he who is the greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. Everybody say serves. For who is greater? He who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. So watch this. Here's the next thing he brings up. Look, if you want to experience the new power, if you want to really experience the life of God in a new way, you need to understand service. How many of you know that Jesus came to serve? And let me tell you something about real service to God. True service to God is more concerned with God's heart for people than inconvenience or personal preference. God, Stovall, that's good. Why don't you say that again? Okay, I will. True service to God is more concerned with God's heart for people than inconvenience or personal preference. That's what he's teaching the disciples here about serving. Listen, when we serve in God's kingdom, when we have an attitude of serving, a lifestyle of serving, when we serve in a ministry to church, here's why we do it. We do it because God loves people and we want to demonstrate Christ's likeness and his heart to others. It's not about whether it's convenient or inconvenient. Can I just say this? Listen, commitment is inconvenience. There's no two ways about it. I mean, Jesus preached like 50 mini messages on this topic about putting your, you know, facing forward and not looking back and moving forward in the kingdom of God, and it's going to cost you. You know, and what you have to forsake to really be his disciple. Listen, it's about not about convenience or inconvenience, man. It's about God's heart for people, and here's what I believe. 17 years ago, when Jesus came into my life and I experienced his forgiveness and his freedom, and I experienced the love of God on the inside, and on the inside in eternal life, and I was like, wow, this is so incredible. Guess what? On the inside of me, something welled up, and I wanted to show God thanks and appreciation for what he had done in my life. And that's where serving comes. That's why I believe that people that don't serve either one or two things. You've never had a real encounter with God where you've experienced that incredible forgiveness and his presence on the inside of you, or like Jesus said, you've allowed the cares of this life and the worries of this life and the hurts and the pains to kind of harden you and give you a cold heart. I want to encourage you today, man, that serving God is one of the greatest privileges that we have while we're on this earth. Can I have a good amen? And it's not about convenience or inconvenience. Yes, it is inconvenient. It is absolutely inconvenient. And guess what? That's a good thing, because God's presence is always attracted to the place of sacrifice. And we need to understand that as we serve God, it's about him, it's about other people. And the other thing is, it's not about our personal preference. Here at Celebration Church, we believe in what we call strategic service. Here's what that means. It's strategic for you in the sense that we want your place of service to match the giftings that you have, the giftings that God's given you, but also it's strategic for the church. And that there's some strategic things that God has shown us that we need to do to be able to reach more people. So, in that filter, let me just say this, watch. Listen, if you're not gifted to sing, don't sign up to be on the praise band, okay? Or you're gonna get one of these in the name of Jesus. Well, gosh, Stovall, isn't that kinda harsh? No, the truth sets you free. You can't sing. Listen, watch. Seriously, you know why that is? Watch. Because we don't want you wasting your energy on something that is not tied into your destiny. Do you see? We need to get you to a place where your gifts can be stirred up and brought out of you. Do you see? Just like guest services. Listen, if this is how you look every Sunday, and you're just all depressed and sour, we're probably not gonna put you on guest services even if you sign up for it. Now watch. If you're all depressed and sour, listen, I'm so glad that you're here. You are welcome here every time the doors are open. Guess what? There are places that you can serve. Do you see what I'm saying? It's just not gonna be at the front door. Do you see what I'm saying? So there's also strategic, and a lot, and like Celebration Church, we're always growing and changing, and I wanna say something, that's a good thing. That's why I always tell people, look, if you don't like Celebration Church, just come back next month, we'll be different. We'll change, listen, and that's a good thing, watch this. The person of God never changes. The principles of God never change. But let me tell you something. God said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm not the God of the dead. I'm the God of the living. Let me tell you something. God moves, friend. God changes. God looks at the next wave. God looks at the next generation. God looks at the next culture. And we need to understand that's a principle that he brought to the children of Israel. You know what God said? He said, look, as long as you see that pillar of fire at night and that cloud by the day, as long as you see that thing stopped, great. Sing Kumbaya, sit at your camp, y'all have fun, eat the bread, kill some quail. That's how things are gonna be. But watch this. As soon as you see that cloud move, as soon as you see that fire move, you better pick up your britches, boy, and you better move on, because I'm not there anymore. Listen, we've gotta be comfortable with moving with God. And at Celebration Church, yeah, next fall we might start 15 ministries, but guess what? We might end 12. Well, I can't believe, why don't y'all have this ministry anymore? Because we feel the move of God in this way. Watch this. Are you in this for personal preference, or is the goal more important than the role? Are you in this for what you like, or are you in this for God? Are you in this to help reach people? Do you see? That's what the kitchen is about. The kitchen is about this. It doesn't matter who does it. Listen, there's a goal out there. There's a cause out there. Eternity is at stake out there. Are you in or not? That's what Jesus is talking about. Listen, this is great, and there's love, and there's peace, and there's rah-rah, and there's hallelujah, and our sins are forgiven, and we're going to heaven. But in the meantime, will you get on my team? Will you take up the cause? Will you realize that there's a lost world out there? Will you realize that there's a humanity out there that needs me, that needs the gospel, that needs the love of God, that needs to be healed, that needs to be on their way to heaven? That's what the kitchen's about. It's about Jesus getting down to business, saying, all right, here we go. I need to be about my Father's business. It's about God. It's about God's kingdom. Are you in or are you out? Here's what you're going to need. Okay, you're going to need humility, because guess what? You're going to get offended and things aren't going to go your way. Okay, everybody got that? Okay, how many of you have experienced things haven't gone your way in life? Anybody want to raise it? Okay, that's what I thought. Jesus comes in, here's the deal. Just like you saw in me, gang, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. You've got to get this in you. We all have a part to play. We all have a part to play in reaching people for God. Are you in? I need you to be humble. I need you to serve. And the final things he says here, he goes on right after that. He says, you know, you people are those who have continued. Everybody say continued. Continued with me in my trials. Jesus talks to him about patience. He talks to him about patience. Let me tell you something about patience. Patience, when we understand patience, we trust more in the process of God in our hearts than we do in the desired outcome. Listen, we all have goals. We all have expectations. We all have outcomes that we want to see in our life. But you know, we need to trust much more in the process of God. Can I have an amen? Than in the expected outcome. Did you know whatever outcome, the expected outcome in your life or your goals, your dreams, all that kind of stuff, did you know that that does not produce 1 ounce of Christ-likeness on the inside of you? That doesn't make you spiritually mature at all, whether things are going great or things are not going great. It doesn't help you be spiritually mature one bit. You know what does the work of spiritual maturity in our lives? Patience. Watch this. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 verses 2. My brethren, count it all joy. Okay, watch this. Why would we count this all joy? It says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Look at verse 4. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect. That means whole. Satisfied, mature, perfect and complete, lacking nothing. It is the work of patience in our hearts that produces Christ-likeness. It is the work of patience, not the desired outcome, not the expectation, not the goal, not the result. It is the work of patience in our lives that produces spiritual maturity, that produces wholeness, that produces a deeper trust in God, that produces Christ-likeness. Now, how many of you would, if you have that understanding, wouldn't you think that patience is a pretty big deal to God, since it's one of the major ways that it takes a work of patience, the Bible says, to actually make us complete, to actually make us spiritually mature? You understand, the more we're talking about spiritual maturity, it's going to say this as we end here in verse 29. Jesus says, I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed upon me. Do you understand righteousness, peace, and joy? That comes from the work of patience in our lives. Christ-likeness, spiritual maturity. God develops that in us through patience. Patience is trusting more in the process of God than the desired outcome, especially in our culture. Especially in America, we are so goal-driven, and that's good, and that's fine, and I'm the same way. But let me tell you what I've learned, okay? What I've learned is any goals, any expectations, any dreams, any desired outcomes, all those things depend on the process and allowing God to do a work of spiritual maturity in our hearts. And that's where we need to be surrendered to God. If we want to be in the kitchen, if we want to go to the next level, if we really want to experience the blessing, that's what Jesus kind of ends this talk with in the kitchen. He says, I bestow upon you a kingdom as my Father just bestowed upon me, the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy. If we really want to experience that, lacking nothing, as James said, content, complete, on fire for God, fulfilled, walking in His purpose, having all of our dreams and things come to pass. Guess what? We've got to trust in the process of God, and we've got to have patience and believe that God is in much more control of our lives than we give Him credit for. Can I have a good amen? Listen, He is in control. And that's what the devil, when he came to Jesus right after the wilderness, right after the 40 days of fasting, you know what the devil knew this principle. Remember, he came to Jesus, he said, hey, Jesus, look, I know what your expectation is. I know the desired outcome that you want. Save man, have the earth back, all the kingdoms of the world. He said, look, we can forego this whole process that you're gonna have. Just worship me right now. I'll give you everything you want. I'll give you all of your goals and dreams here. Satan was trying to get Jesus to abort the process and go right to the desired outcome. But Jesus knew that the outcome could never be what God wants it to be. Listen, you can never manage or direct your life in a way that can even compare with what God has for you. God has blessings for you. God has freedom for you. God has goodness for you. But we've got to trust in the process of God and take off the expectations. That's spiritual maturity game. That's being like Jesus. That's what makes a difference in your life and in the lives of others while you're on this earth. And that's how you have the abundant life, the joy, the peace, and the satisfaction that every single one of us want. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.